My guest is Neil Kalin, attorney at large. Is that still your title, attorney at large?
Assistant General Counsel.
Assistant General. You know, I don't have any bio for you for an introduction. Assistant General Counsel. He's primarily focusing on the forms, writing all the forms for the California Association of Realtors. Last segment, if you missed it, you really missed out, but it'll be podcast at RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com. We talked about the National Association of Realtors settlement agreement over a case held in Missouri, a judgment. And so now we're going to talk about the results, the ramifications in the real world. In August of 2024, all multiple listing services, MLS, across the country stopped having an input of commission being offered to the buyer's agent. Now, Neil's going to explain the ramifications. We got this buyer-broker agreement. The irony is that if you're an agent, you have a website, you have a listing, or if your company has a website, has a listing, they can say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Neil, they can say, hey, we're selling this house on State Street for $2 million, and the seller is offering a 2.5% commission to the buyer's agent. From what I've seen so far in Santa Barbara, I don't know what you've seen in the state or can comment. It seems like sellers are still interested in marketing their property and offering as an incentive a commission to a buyer's agent. Is there any stats on that?
There's no stats yet. I think what you are finding is that's generally the case. There's different market areas. There's different price points where that may be different. The distinction between now and pre-August 2024 is this, Mark. In the past, the seller offered their listing broker kind of like this big bucket of money, and the listing broker took part of that bucket. I usually call it, you know, a carton of milk. That's the money. And poured some of that milk, some of that money, into the buyer's agent's glass, right? What's happening now is the seller is agreeing to pay their own agent a smaller carton of milk. The agent is not sharing that milk with the buyer's agent. What is happening is the buyer in the purchase offer is asking the seller to pay the buyer's agent. Why? Because the buyer needs to have their own agreement with the buyer's agent. The buyer is saying, well, listen, seller, you really want me to buy your property. I need your help paying my own agent. So you, the seller, are going to make that payment directly. We're going to cut out the broker as the middleman.
And I want to say that in the past, we were not allowed to discuss and put commissions in the contract. And if a seller was offering a 2% commission in MLS, you couldn't write an offer and say, here's my offer, but you have to pay 2.5%. Is that correct?
You could not do that because that was negotiating the brokerage commission using the purchase agreement, which is a buyer-seller agreement. What's happening now is the buyer is using the purchase agreement to negotiate directly with the seller rather than having the brokers negotiating between themselves.
And how does this help the seller? I mean, the buyer. You're a buyer. If you have tons of money, you could sign an agreement saying, yeah, if the seller doesn't cooperate, I'll pay you a commission. But most buyers are just sometimes getting in on the skin of their teeth. How does this new rule and new way of doing business, how does that benefit the buyer?
Well, I'm going to give you the theory that these class action lawyers have put forth. What they have said is that if buyers can negotiate with their own agents in advance, that agents will come to different agreements. Some agents will charge X. Excuse me. Some agents will charge Y. Okay? And that maybe if buyers negotiate directly with their own agents before presenting an offer, that the overall cost of buying a home will be reduced. That is their theory. They said because prior to this, where the offer was coming from the listing broker to the selling broker, there was little incentive on the buyer side to negotiate the amount of commission. Now they're saying there is more of an incentive. Whether that happens in practice is a completely different story, right? So these plaintiffs' lawyers have made a philosophical or a theoretical argument about what might happen. Whether that actually happens in the marketplace, that's something that only time will tell.
So going back to what you said, and by the way, for some reason now, I feel like a glass of milk.
You want some cookies to go with that?
But, you know, you said now the agent isn't sharing commission, but there's what we're calling concessions, which is, I think, hysterical, that in MLS, we're actually allowed to say that the seller will consider concessions.
That's correct.
So, I mean, it's not 100% clear or it's not 100% a given that that seller and that listing agent will not be paying the buyer's agent. They still can. They still can write that in the listing agreement. And if I'm showing property in three houses, I could call those three agents and I could say, is your seller willing to pay a buyer's commission? And if so, how much that is? Is that correct?
Yes, you can do that on a property-by-property basis. What we are finding is that, again, this does not come through the agent anymore. It's coming direct from the seller, okay? And that's the distinction that's being made. So maybe from a seller's standpoint, there's really very little difference, right? The seller was giving this big carton of milk to their own agent. Now the seller is giving two cartons of milk, one carton to the seller's agent and one carton to the buyer's agent, and maybe it comes out to the same big carton that they were doing before the settlement. I don't know if that's the case, but it could be, right? But that's the difference. It's the seller is making the decision rather than the seller's agent deciding, here's how much I'm going to offer the other side. All right? Does that help at all?
Yes. And what it, and again, anecdotally, it's not as if I've done any kind of survey, but anecdotally, I'm hearing that, and it's not as if I've been working with five buyers since August and calling a lot of agents and finding out if the agents are, if their seller is in fact offering a commission, but anecdotally, I'm hearing that it hasn't changed much, at least in Santa Barbara. I don't know what's going on in California, the rest of the country, and I don't know how they're ever going to be able to track. There's so many factors that impact real estate prices. I don't know how they think they're going to track this this thing. But this buyer-broker agreement, I think it's a real shock to a lot of buyers when an agent has to say, oh, by the way, I mean, are you getting any feedback on that? And it's a California Association rule. And then what's happening January with the state of California?
Right. So two things. Are we getting a lot of pushback on the buyer representation agreement? The answer is no. And Mark, before this, there was approximately, I think there was 15, 16, maybe 18 states in the United States that already had mandatory buyer broker agreements, right? So not quite half the nation already had this in place. California, you mentioned, Mark, CAR has had its own version of a buyer broker agreement for 20 years, but they were rarely used because buyer's agent said, what do I need to use that for? I'm getting an offer of compensation through the MLS, so I don't really need it. So the forms were rarely used. Now they have to be used if you are a realtor and if you are a member of the MLS. And starting in January, it's going to be mandatory by state law. So California law has been revised effective January of next year to require buyer broker agreements for all licensees, not just for realtors, not just for MLS members, not just for residential properties, but for all properties and all licensees throughout the state. So guess what? Everybody has to get used to it, because that will be the new normal. It started to be the new normal in August of this year when the settlement started to be implemented. And it's going to be so commonplace starting in January, because it's going to apply across the board to all licensees and all property types.
And when you said prior to this settlement agreement and case that approximately 18 states had buyer broker agreement, they had them, but they weren't required, or were they? I missed that.
No. What I was saying, that in those 15 to 18 states, they were required by those, by state law in those states.
Oh, my goodness. Right. I did not know that.
Yeah, so for a lot of the country, this is, you know, nothing new. Nothing new to see here, right? But that was less than half. So, you know, that was a heavy minority of the states that had that as a requirement. Now it's going to be a requirement everywhere.
I wonder how buyers are responding. I know a friend of mine told me she had a buyer, and the buyer happened to be an attorney from back east, and it didn't seem to get a lot of pushback. But this agent and myself, you know, we don't want to really paint people into a corner. It's like, hey, you know what? You just met me. You don't know me from Adam. Sign this. You're going to work with me. You're going to pay me. You're going to do this and that. It just, I know there's a better way to present it, but it just, I mean, you know, my take is I'm going to meet buyers and I'm going to explain the law, but I'm not going to want to hold their feet to the fire if we end up, I think more than likely the seller is going to end up paying a commission.
But you are going to have this agreement if you want to comply with the law and you want to comply with the settlement. So there's two quick responses to that, Mark. First of all, agents are going to have to go out and give a buyer presentation to buyers, just like they do to try to get a listing, right? You probably have a whole presentation that you have prepared to try and convince a seller to list their property with you. Agents are going to have to start doing that with buyers as well. Starting in January, and already in the CIR forms, the maximum representation term for a buyer is 3 months. So guess what? You're a buyer. You're not that comfortable working with an agent. You're not tied in with them forever. That agreement's not going to last any longer than 3 months. If you're getting along, great. You'll renew it. If you're not getting along, you will each move on, the buyer to a different agent, the agent to a different buyer. So that's one thing. Second thing, at least in the CAR forms, there's cancellation rights in our buyer broker agreements. So even if you're not happy before that 3 months is up, there's an ability to get out of those agreements. You've got to give proper notice. And if the agent has already found the property for you, you can say, thanks for finding the property, I'm going to cancel. Now you have no rights. That agent already earned their right by finding the property for you. We call that broker involvement. So you can't cheat an agent by saying, thanks for doing all the work, now I'm going to cancel on you. But there are ways to get out.
Well, speaking of ways to get out, we're up against the clock. I have to say goodbye. Can I call your cell phone when I sit down with a buyer and you can explain all this to them?
Mark, I'm always willing to help you out anytime, day or night.
Neil Kalin, Assistant General Counsel, California Association of Realtors. Always great to talk to you. Thanks a million. You actually cleared up a lot of things for me. I appreciate it.
A pleasure as always.
Okay, take good care. And the rest of you, stay tuned for the weekly multiple listing sales update.